Hi everybody, how's it going? Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to another episode of Blockchain and Beyond. As always, I'm your host, Frazan. Today, I'm going to be talking about Bitcoin ETFs and also the SEC and what the current stance is on Bitcoin ETFs. So I guess we can start with a bit of background context. So an ETF is an exchange traded fund, which is effectively a number of pooled investments that represent a sector or a specific industry. For example, we have the S&P 500 ETF, which is a number of assets which aims to represent the leading 500 publicly traded companies in the US. The benefit of such product is that it allows investors exposure to US markets without having to purchase and hold individual stocks or shares. Instead, they can just purchase part of this ETF and gain exposure to everything contained within it. And the same applies to a Bitcoin ETF, which is a fund which is comprised of Bitcoin or assets related to Bitcoin's price. These would actually be traded on a traditional exchange as opposed to a cryptocurrency exchange and give traditional investors exposure to Bitcoin in ways that they may not have been able to previously. And the biggest benefit of ETFs as opposed to actually holding Bitcoin itself would be consumer protection laws. This is because the ETF would actually be approved by the SEC, which is the Securities and Exchange Commission, and would be protected in cases where the offering company may face financial difficulties or another situation may arise. The other big benefit is to do with custody of the asset. So for example, if I buy and purchase Bitcoin, I would need to hold it on my own exchange or my own wallet. Whereas if I was to purchase a Bitcoin ETF, all of the custody would be managed by the companies which are offering this product to me. Some investors may prefer this as they may not have the time or the technical knowledge to understand how to self-custody Bitcoin. So now on to where we currently stand. So in 2021, a Bitcoin futures ETF was actually approved by the SEC, and this is being run by a company called ProShares. They actually offer a number of other ETF products as well. So a key distinction that needs to be made here is that this is a futures ETF and not a spot ETF. So a spot ETF would be a case where we actually buy and hold Bitcoin, so where we're actually buying it at its spot price. However, as this is a futures ETF, this makes it slightly different. In finance, a futures contract is an agreement to buy or sell a specific good at a certain date in the future at a predetermined price. As part of this, when the date of the contract actually rolls around, the asset would traditionally be exchanged between the two parties. However, this can be timely and costly to both parties. Instead, this idea of perpetual futures was created, and this wasn't created because of Bitcoin. This is something that has existed in the past as well. And the main difference being that these contracts are automatically rolled forwards, so they never actually mature and delivery does not need to be arranged. This means that a perpetual future is just a potential predictor of Bitcoin's future price, or it trades at what people think Bitcoin's price will be in a month's time or a other predetermined time frame. Now, just briefly, we'll actually look at the SEC, who they are, what they do, and then we'll actually go in to discuss why they've actually approved of Bitcoin futures ETFs rather than Bitcoin spot ETFs. So the US Securities and Exchange Commission, or the SEC, is an independent federal government regulatory agency whose main responsibility is protecting investors, maintaining fair and orderly functioning of the securities market, and also facilitating capital formation. And this can be broken down into five distinct divisions, which we'll go through. So the first one is corporate finance, to ensure that investors are provided with material information, which is information relevant to the company's financial prospects, in order to make an informed decision. We have an enforcement division, which is in charge of enforcing the SEC's regulation by investigating cases and prosecuting where necessary. We have the Division of Investment Management, to regulate investment companies, variable insurance products, and also regulated investment advisors. Then we have the Economic and Risk Division, which is meant to integrate economic data into the core mission of the SEC to understand how the markets are operating and if any further intervention is required. And then finally, there's also the Trading and Markets Division, which establishes the standards for the fair and orderly running of efficient markets. So now, knowing the SEC's goals, we can actually look at what products they've already approved. So as mentioned before, the ProShares Bitcoin strategy is a futures ETF which they have approved of in the past, and this became one of the most heavily traded ETFs in market history, attracting around $1 billion in assets within a few days. The next one is the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. And the idea behind this one is that they would hold Bitcoin and then their actual share or asset price would follow Bitcoin's price and their holdings. And the idea is that this share could actually trade at a premium or discount to the actual Bitcoin that they hold. Since then, they have actually diversified their crypto investments to now include other cryptocurrencies such as Ethereum, Litecoin, Decentraland, Solana, XLM, and more. And then we also have the Valkyrie and VanEck Bitcoin Strategy ETFs, which are more or less the same to the ProShares Bitcoin Futures ETF. The main difference would be how much they charge to actually invest in this fund and other small minute details of their operations. So from here, we can actually see that the SEC is in favor of Bitcoin Futures ETFs and has approved a number of them in the future. But as to why they haven't approved a Bitcoin spot ETF actually comes down to something called spot risk. So effectively, when an asset is being purchased, you actually exchange the goods and the currency at that exact moment. Whereas with a futures contract, you would exchange the asset at some point in the future. So within the spot market, this creates an issue of liquidity. A company who is offering to buy or sell Bitcoin on the spot may not hold enough Bitcoin to actually transfer to the other party. This is somewhat known as counterparty risk, and we've seen counterparty risk in places such as the currency markets and could pose as a potential problem for investors in the future. And this is where the benefit of the Bitcoin perpetual futures come in, is that you can make these investments without any counterparty risk, as these contracts are automatically rolled forward. No one actually has to handle the delivery of the assets in the end. This makes the whole investment process a lot more easier and a lot more streamlined for all parties involved. And now we can actually look at things that might help change the SEC's stance. So in 2017, the SEC warned that blockchain tokens may represent investment securities, which must be registered with the SEC. So if a product is registered with the SEC, it's more likely to actually be approved or traded in the future. Gary Gensler, the chairman of the SEC, has also indicated that many crypto exchanges should register with the SEC as a securities trading platform, as they trade in assets which can be considered securities. And also the idea that stablecoins face regulatory scrutiny as they are generally involved with security trades. So as more companies join the ecosystem and begin complying with regulation or new regulation is rather developed, this can actually lead to the chances that a Bitcoin spot ETF is actually approved, because there would be registered companies and operating bodies to actually facilitate these trades and investments. But the SEC has also come under some scrutiny from general investors, saying that the SEC have taken far too long to actually come up with a stance regarding Bitcoin and Bitcoin products, and they're not actually doing enough in terms of regulation to help promote the growth of crypto or crypto assets in general. And the SEC's explanation for this has been reduced budgets and also a fragmented regulatory system, which has not actually kept up with developments in the financial markets. So if we look into the far future, what I think will happen is there will eventually be a number of ETFs being offered, mostly by these crypto investment companies, and this is how I think they would work. So either these companies would offer a basket of goods, for example, they may hold different cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and Ethereum and others, or these ETFs may be focused on generating yield as their main value proposition. For example, if there was an Ethereum yield ETF, this ETF would hold different crypto assets within Ethereum that are related to developing some sort of yield. This will primarily be in decentralized finance products, or it could potentially be in terms of staking as well. And in terms of that, there's actually companies who are offering this. So Securitize is a SEC approved company which offers crypto denominated yield investment strategies to large investors. And this is something I discussed in a previous episode of mine, which is titled Modernizing Debt Markets with Securitize. So in this episode, I actually discuss the debt market structure, but also the other products that Securitize offer, which may be of interest to some people who are listening now. So that covers everything I wanted to. So just a little recap of today's episode. So we identified that the SEC has approved a number of Bitcoin futures ETFs. And then we also discussed what futures are, how they work, and the main benefit to them being there's no counterparty risk, which is the main reasoning behind why there are no spot Bitcoin ETFs at the moment. That being said, the SEC are also working towards developing regulations surrounding crypto assets and they have approved certain products such as Securitize, and this will definitely be something of development in the future, and this could lead to other investment ETFs such as yield focused ETFs, or rather a basket of goods such as the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust ETF. As always, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, it would be awesome to hear from you. Feel free to reach out to me on any of my social media. You can find me on Twitter at Farzan Akhtar 1. And yeah, that's me. So until next time, goodbye.